Let us bow our heads as we open God's Word together today and seek His blessing in teaching today. God our Father, as we come into Your presence once again now with our Bibles before us, Father, we recognize this as Your holy Word. We recognize, Lord, that there is nothing within us that is able to understand and interpret it correctly. Father, it says that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so today we ask for spiritual discernment. We ask for Your Holy Spirit to come and to minister to us in this our time of need. Father, we ask Thy blessing. That we would find something today, hear something, receive something. Father, from Your Word, that we can apply to our lives, that will lift us up, encourage us, and draw us closer to Jesus our Lord. It's in His name that we ask. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning, start our time together, by asking you a thought question. And the question is this: is your life chaotic? Is your life chaotic? Do you have more obligations than you can meet? Do you have more responsibilities than you can carry, than you can handle? More bills than you can pay? Do you feel that the further along you go, the deeper in you get, and you just can't manage the chaos that comes around you? Chaos is defined as a state of complete disorder and confusion. That's a dictionary definition. And probably some of us here today can relate to that definition and identify that that is probably a pretty good definition and a pretty good explanation of how we feel in our lives on some days. Things get chaotic, disorderly, confused. And for some, this chaos of life is intensified because the marriage is in shambles. And for others, this chaos is intensified because they've been laid off from their job. And for others, the chaos seems to be king as they battle with mounting debt and financial obligations or deteriorating personal health or the death of somebody very, very special. It's true, without any doubt, that life can be chaotic. Life can be tragic. And the chaos and the tragedy, as you well are aware, is no respecter of persons. But the Word of God promises us that no matter how chaotic our life becomes today, God has the ability to bring order to the chaos, to bring beauty out of the tragedy if we will learn to rest in Him. The message of the Sabbath touches the subject of chaos. What does the Sabbath have to do with life being chaotic? Or what does the Sabbath have to do with the chaos that sometimes we experience as we go through life, you may ask? Well, let us remember as we consider the Sabbath today that the Sabbath itself was born out of chaos. Scripture shows us in the book of Genesis, as we look at the very birth story of our world in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, we find right there at the beginning a story and a record of chaos. I invite you to read with me in Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 in your scriptures, whatever version you may have or whatever form you may have, digital or paperback today. God's Word says this in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You know the verses very well. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now the Bible begins with chaos, and through the progression of the chapter, moves to perfect order. Did you notice the words there in verse 2 of how the earth is described as being without form? And it's described as being void. Those two words, without form and void, are also connected with another word there, darkness. Darkness, it says, was upon the face of the deep. And these words help us to see that prior to God's creative work in further defining what the world would be and how the world would look on that first day of the creation week, the situation was a chaotic one. It was empty and it was dark. Sounds like a pretty good description of life sometimes. Strong's Concordance, which is a Bible study tool that I recommend for every single student of God's Word, reveals to us that the words translated without form and void are the Hebrew words tohu and bohu. Tohu and bohu. What do those words mean? Some of the definitions are similar to what we would expect, some of the words that come out in the English language. Formlessness, confusion, nothingness, wasteland. But one of the definitions struck me, the definition of tohu. It means a place of chaos. And that's how Moses, the author of the book of Genesis, describes the condition of our known universe, our known solar system, our world, prior to the creative work of God to further define and finish it. And Genesis chapter 1 shows us that God created order out of chaos. He took uncontrollable chaos and turned it into order. And by God's continuous support, the universe is kept from returning to tohu bohu, uncontrollable chaos, though sometimes we might feel that as though we are there in our personal lives individually. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to that text. Colossians in the New Testament. You pass the Corinthians, you'll come to Galatians, then Ephesians, then Philippians, then Colossians. We're looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. I want you to notice here what it says about Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's a simple text, it's a short text. It says this, Colossians 1, 17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things," what? "All things consist." You may have a newer translation, such as the NLT, the New Living Translation, and it reads this, "He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together." He holds all creation together. God started that powerful work of turning the chaos into order with these simple words found in Genesis chapter 1, "Let there be light." And the Bible says there was light in verse 3 of Genesis 1. And that is where God began His work of turning the chaos, or rather removing the chaos. He turned the light on in the dark chaos and set a boundary for that darkness, where it could no longer control the circumstance, where without formness, that formlessness, that void, that empty, that dark area would no longer be the record of the story. Where Genesis chapter 1 says that the tohu bohu, the uncontrollable chaos of this world prior to God's creative word, was removed by the words, "Let there be light." Darkness could not exist where God had placed light. And during the first 5 days of creation week, God produced order out of the chaos as He created everything beautiful that we know to exist in our world. And then on the sixth day, God decided that it was safe to introduce human life into this world that He had brought out of the chaos. And He created Adam and He created Eve. And once the creation of mankind was complete and the sixth day now drew to a close, God looked at everything that He had made in the works of His hands, and He viewed the order that had come out of the chaos that had previously been there. By His creative power, He removed it. And God said, "This is very good." Genesis 1:31. That word "good," sometimes we don't just want to accept that we understand what certain words mean. We think we understand what good means, and we say, well, something that's satisfactory. Well, to God, it wasn't just satisfactory. To God, it was actually, as the scripture indicates, very good. The word in the Hebrew language is the word tov, and it indicates something pleasant, something agreeable that makes one happy or joyous. And so here we have, at the end of the creation week, God joyous with delight over what he had done and what he had seen and what he had made and the order that he had brought out of the chaos. And while here at the conclusion of Genesis chapter 1, we might think that here, God is done now. Everything has been made very good. Tob, joy, joyous delight. But we actually find that instead of being finished, the creation story intensifies and actually comes to the climax that God wants it to come to, a climactic conclusion, which actually is recorded in the first part of Genesis chapter 2. God is about to crown the creation week with one final day and three special actions. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, if you have your Bibles and would like to read it as we share it together. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." The Sabbath was rested on, was blessed, was made holy. The Sabbath was God's final act in the creation of order from chaos in the creation story. And in that account, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the Sabbath at the end of creation week is the opposite of the chaos and the disorder that existed at the beginning of creation week. They are presented as two bookmarks of that creation story: a chaotic, dark, empty, formless world at the beginning. Enter God. Enter the powerful, transformatory word of God. And by day number 7, the Sabbath comes as God's climactic conclusion of creative power and creative work, and showing us that there is now perfect harmony in all of creation. The Sabbath is God's abundant blessing to his children. And it comes as a weekly reminder of God's ability to create order out of chaos. The message today is entitled, "It's About Time, A Time for Order." A time for order. And it comes to us every week, this seventh-day Sabbath, reminding us that God has the ability to create order out of chaos. It reminds us of his ability to produce abundance out of scarcity, wholeness and healing out of disorder and disease. The Sabbath is a memorial to God's creative power, a power sufficient to create something out of nothing. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 3 is another text I want you to take your Bibles to. If you can turn there quickly. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. God's word says this: "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And it means that God didn't use pre-existing matter to make the things that we have in our world. It was the powerful, transformatory, creative word of God that when he spoke, matter came into existence. And then we have the psalmist David, and you probably know these texts from years ago, memory texts in Sabbath school. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. The Bible says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Skipping down to verse 9, it says, "For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Only a sovereign God could create something out of nothing. Only a sovereign God could bring order and harmony out of uncontrollable chaos. And God's creative power brings order out of chaos. His powerful word calls into existence the very, and into place and position of perfection all of the things that he has placed. He has shown this by his creation of the world and his arrangement of things in the universe. And yet chaos, that affects our lives. And I want to draw a distinction here. The chaos that I referred to a little earlier that existed prior to God's creative work was a starting point where God said, okay, there's something there, and now I'm going to take that and I'm going to fashion it. But there's another type of chaos, the chaos that we are all accustomed to, the chaos that comes into our lives because of sin, the chaos that comes when maybe God's word has been ignored or because God's will has been avoided or neglected. There's a chaos that comes into our lives, a chaos brought by sin that ended up coming and threatening God's created world, God's perfect order of things in our earth. You remember the story of how Lucifer fell from his lofty estate in heaven and how he came as the devil to this world and deceived our first parents and led them into sin. Now that sin took root in their hearts and in the lives of our first parents and the parents, the children after the parents, and the children after those children, and every successive generation of mankind right down to our day has had this sin planted in our lives. The inclination to do wrong. The pull to go the way that the enemy tells us we should go. We all have it. We all deal with it. And we've seen the results in the world around us and in our own lives of disorder and sin-brought chaos. We've seen the effects of that chaos on our own lives and the lives of all of those that we love. We've had experience with this chaos in our own homes and our families, in our churches, in our communities, in the associations and the relationships that we have with people around us. Disorder has come in, confusion has come in, chaos has come in. That sin disease has brought about the ruin of almost all the beauty in our world and among the people of the earth as well. And ultimately, due to the presence of sin, as God's word reveals to us, due to the presence of sin in this world upon the return of Jesus, ruin will be brought to the earth entirely. I invite you to take your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, a passage that we typically study in Jeremiah chapter 4, a passage we typically study when we consider the prophetic subject of the millennium, the thousand-year period, and what the condition on earth is. Well, I'm taking you in your mind's eye to that very time today, down to Jeremiah chapter 4, looking at verses 23 to 27. Notice what the Bible says. Jeremiah 4, starting in verse 23, notice the condition of the earth. It says there in verse 23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light. Doesn't that sound very similar to Genesis chapter 1? Without form and void. And there's darkness upon the earth. Verse 24, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. At the end of the world, after the coming of Jesus, the prophet's description of these things here in Jeremiah in numerous ways are the same as they were in the book of Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning. One simple word to describe it: chaotic. Chaos. Apart from the recognition that there are no people and that even the birds of the heavens are all fled away, everything is broken down. Jeremiah used the same words that Moses used to tell the creation account in Genesis 1. Did you notice them? In verse 23, without form and void. Where things started in a chaotic state, and were fashioned and formed by the Word of God to become beautiful and perfect in our world, right back to where we come again at the very end after Jesus has come. Sin's permeation in the world has caused its ruin, and chaos is the condition as well in this earth after the coming of Jesus. Now, we've all always kind of taken the impression that when Jesus comes, everything is made right. Disharmony is made harmony, and that order is brought where there is disorder today. And that is the truth in the lives of the people. But when it comes to the condition of this world, by way of illustration for today's point, in this world, everything is brought back to chaos again. Sin came in at the beginning and began little by little since the time of God's harmonious creation of destroying and ruining to the place where it has so permeated everything that when Jesus comes, it needs to be all destroyed and brought back to that state of ruin. Of course, God's people have been rescued from the world at that point in time. I'm thankful that the scripture does not tell us that in that state of chaos, that is not where things are going to stay. Just as it was at the beginning, the creative power, the creative word of God will make things new again. The apostle Peter, speaking by faith in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13, says this: "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Righteousness is presented as being the opposite in this context of the chaos. How beautiful. And these hopes that Peter speaks to, that he shares here, they're not just fanciful hopes without any foundation. There are multiple passages in Scripture that can share with us and hold up for us the hope of a future. These are not just dreams that won't come true. The Lord himself declared in Isaiah chapter 65 verse 17, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." God has a plan. He has a plan to do it once more. He proposes to recreate this world by his creative power again after that sin is defeated for good. And removed from the earth, removed completely from our lives, God will make this world anew. Once again, he's going to bring order out of chaos. Peace from the chaos. And this is an idea that we've mentioned several times. That God can bring order out of chaos. And maybe I'll even take it a step further, that God can bring order out of uncontrollable chaos. I want to ask you, why is the idea that God is able to do that? Why is the idea, the understanding that God can bring order out of uncontrollable chaos so important? Why should we really care that God can produce something, that God can produce abundance out of nothing? I believe that it's because it's the same God who brings order to the uncontrollable chaos in the natural world and in the elements at the beginning, and who promises to do the same thing again at the end. That is the same God, the same power, the same creative word that says that he will come into our lives and take the uncontrollable chaos caused by sin from our lives and bring a restoration of harmony and peace and healing and wholeness in our lives today. He promises to take the emptiness that we experience. He promises to take the void, the darkness, and replace it with light, to replace it with abundance in our experience today. And the Sabbath, every week, is God's weekly reminder of that promise. God will bring order to your chaos. God will bring wholeness to your brokenness. God will bring abundance where you have need. God will bring healing where you are hurting. And without respect to how chaotic your life may be, God promises to bring order and beauty out of that chaos at whatever level it is as you rest in him. The scripture tells us that work of peace and harmony, that work of health and healing, that work of light and wholeness is the ministry of Jesus. Take your Bibles to Isaiah 61. It's the ministry of your Savior to do that. Isaiah chapter 61. And we're going to read the first three verses. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. God's Word says this. The Spirit, of course, we know that Jesus quoted from this passage when he was in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, I believe it is, in Nazareth. And he quoted this scripture and told the people that today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This was the passage, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. Now the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up. Listen carefully now, you might find yourself spoken of here. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Isn't that a powerful text? That's the plan of God for your life. The plan of God for you, the plan for the ministry that he has for each and every one of you. Your emptiness and darkness and ashes will be made fullness and light and beauty. Remember that the scripture says God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but he is the author of peace and order and harmony. And one day is going to be brought to pass the promise that is written in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. One day it's going to take place where John the Apostle wrote these words, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And it's in that world made new, living in the presence of God, that the words recorded by the prophet Isaiah will be true. When he wrote in Isaiah 66, 22 and 23, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. In that land of peace, in that land of order and harmony, a land where sin is going to bother us no more, we will come to worship the Lord Sabbath by Sabbath as a memorial of the grand creative and the grand restorative work that he has done, not only in the earth around us, but in the very lives that we bring to him. He took the world from its chaos at the beginning and made it beautiful. He'll take the world at the end and take it from the chaos and that sin has caused and will make it beautiful again. And he will have taken by that time your life and my life, and from the chaos, from the ashes, brought forth something amazing, something marvelous, something wonderful. And that is the power of God and the promise of God if we are desirous to have it. It's up to you. It's up to me. We can try and tackle the chaos problem ourselves, or we can turn it over to God, who has the experience of making beauty from ashes and order from chaos over and over and over again. In November 1963, 17-year-old Laura Welsh borrowed a family car to attend a social gathering with some of her friends. A few hours later, her mother and father received the kind of telephone call that every parent dreads. Staff at the local hospital had called them to tell them that Laura had been in an accident. She never saw the stop sign, And she drove straight through the intersection at normal speed, plowing through a car that had the right of way. Laura suffered only bruises. But the driver of the other car, a track star at the local high school, and one of Laura's best friends, died instantly upon the impact. What could be worse for a 17-year-old girl entering the very prime of life than to accidentally kill her best friend? You might expect that this girl's life would be continually filled with guilt and shame. Guilt and shame probably so strong that they'd keep her from doing anything productive in her life. But Laura was a Christian. And Laura turned to God in her time of need. And she surrendered her life to Him and learned to lean and rest upon God's sovereign power, His grace, His mercy, and His compassion. And Laura would later say that from this tragedy, her life, her perspective on life had completely changed. It was formed at that point in time, at that young age. She gained a compassion. She gained a wisdom from it. And friends and family alike marveled at her strength and at her serenity. And many people around the world who have grown to respect her qualities as an adult say that something happened in her life to be able to make her the person, the woman that she became. Laura found help in God. She surrendered her life to Him. Leaned upon that power, became someone who was well respected. And Laura Welsh went on to marry a man from Texas, became Laura Bush, who was the wife of the past president of the United States. God's creative power brings order out of chaos. God's creative word can speak peace into your experience and bring order to your chaos. And each week, the Sabbath celebrates the creative power of God, who is your sovereign God. Each week, our sovereign God gives to you the opportunity, gives to me the opportunity to stop and to cease from my labor, to cease from my worry, to cease from my striving, and to rest and trust the one who promises to bring order out of chaos to your life. He says to your heart today, the words of Scripture, be still and know that I am God. I pray today that as you contemplate and take a mental inventory of the chaotic areas of your life, that you would present them to God in prayer, that you would ask that His creative power would do its work in these areas of chaos. Ask Him to make something beautiful out of that chaos. Spend the remaining hours of this Sabbath in thanksgiving to Him for the power that He promises to use in your life and already has to give you beauty from ashes, joy in place of mourning, and order in place of chaos. It's about time. It's about time that we allowed God to make the day a time for order. And may He bless us today. And may He give us and grant us the peace and order that we individually need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask today that Your blessing would attend us. We come to You with our lives, Father, our lives that in many ways are chaotic from time to time. Sin has done its work, Father, and we feel it, we know it, we experience it. But today I want to ask, Lord, that that creative power of God, the Creator Sovereign of heaven and earth, who speaks and it is done, who commands and it stands fast, would come and would speak a word into my heart today, would speak a word into the hearts of each of these brothers and sisters here today. And Father, would bring order in a state of chaos, and would bring harmony where there is disharmony today, and Father, would bring light where there is darkness. Father, we pray today that You would come, speak to us, live within us, abide with us, and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.